This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Fay. How are you?
I'm fine. You know, if you can survive the ice and the rain and a little bit of snow in the middle of March, you can do anything.
I know.
You know, if you can do that, I mean, you know, oh my gosh.
I saw that, you know, because obviously, you know, it's been up and down, but, you know, you had, you know, it seems like every couple of weeks, you know, you've got some kind of a snow or ice event over there. And it seems strange because we're getting later and later in the year. I mean, tonight we spring forward an hour. It seems like all that winter up and down weather should be behind us by now, but it's not.
You would think in the middle of March there'd just be sunshine and 70, right?
Yeah, that
but
would be
just
nice.
It's not that way.
No.
Every couple of days they say, okay, winter weather warning. All day, you know, we're going to have a little sleet, little snow, a little rain, and maybe a little ice on the highway. And you turn around and say, but my gosh, it was 70 yesterday.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. You know?
And it seems like when you get socked with this dangerous weather, it seems like it's an all-day event. It's not like a couple of hours and then it'll melt and you go about your business. It seems like literally an all-day thing every time.
Yeah, and it says, yesterday it said, until 6 o'clock. You know,
wow.
Winter weather advisory till 6 o'clock. So I'm looking at the map. Yep, it's coming from Oklahoma and up north. You know, right down the middle.
Wow.
I don't understand it. You know, it's almost Easter time. We've got spring break next week.
Mm.
I mean, it doesn't seem like spring to me.
No, the calendar
says spring.
It seems
like we might have missed something a little bit here, folks.
It's like reality has kind of checked out. You have to rely on the calendar to remind you what it should be, and then you go outside and it's like, well, it doesn't match. What's going on here?
That's right. And my friend Rick, after listening to the show last Saturday, he called me this week and he was talking to me. He said, I love the deal about the strawberries and poteet. But he said, you didn't even talk about life settlements. What happened? He said, the whole show was not even, you didn't even mention life settlements. He said, what happened to you? I told him it was an off Saturday. I said, you know, we got carried away. We didn't mean to.
Time got away from us.
Time got away from us. And we were talking about all those retail deals. And I'm not going to get sidetracked today.
All right.
I'm going to stay on point. I don't have anything to report on that anyway.
Then we'll get to it. This is Your Money with Fay Bagby. Your phone number is?
Our phone number is 877-588-3330. 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com. Go to the website. Check us out. Read all the things you can about us. How it works, what the returns are, what we've done so far this year, and you can learn a lot about the company.
Yeah, people really do, and they use it as a big research tool. They get a lot of information. You hear people saying, you know, hey, I didn't, you know, realize, you know, the money that people were actually making, and so it's a great place for people to get a little bit of information, I guess, before they come to see you, especially for new investors. What when you have new investors come over and they call you and they say, you know, I've been listening for a while. We went to the website. What kind of feedback do you get from people, you know, right off the bat? Are they informed? Are they just not really sure? Or
I think everybody is really informed by the time they call me because they've been listening to us for a long time. They know how a life settlement works. They know we're purchasing life insurance policies on terminally ill people. So they know, and they know about what the profit is. You know, like if it's a 24-month policy, you're going to get 24%. Now, if it goes over, it'll be less. But if it works according to the way it should, you know, you will get 24%. And it doesn't matter if it comes in early, it's still 24. If it's late, it's still 24. It's just 24% if it's 24 months. Some good things to report. We got a new LE on a new policy that we're working on. It's $1 million. It is a brain cancer. But the people that did the LE are doctors who are scientists. Really? They did all this scientific work on this policy. We've never had a report from a company that uses all this scientific information. I mean, it's much deeper than any LE we've ever had. These people are thorough. It's the best LE from a company I've ever gotten.
Wow.
I really like their work. I mean, they know all the scientific things that you talk about up to date. I mean, the science on this thing is up to date. In fact, a client asked me the other day, said, you know, how do they really do this? They noticed that one of the LE companies did it two different ways. They did it from the doctor's reports, or they do it on a computer-based, you know, 1,000 people with this type of cancer, what is the average life expectancy? How many of them die at this point? How many die at that point? So this was really a good LE. I hope a lot of people get in this policy. It's 18 to 24 months, according to the science on this thing. And what they did, they went back and studied the fact that the person did not do any radiation, no chemo. They did the surgery for the brain cancer. And they said, if you do not do chemo or radiation, your chances of survival is nil. They said they gave him 18 to 24 months because he didn't finish doing anything that would have prolonged it 5 years. They said if a person had done all these other things, they might have lived 4 to 5 years. But they said since he didn't even complete all this, that they gave him 18 to 24 months.
Wow.
For brain cancer. It makes that big a difference. They made a difference with me, and that's why I wanted the policy. When I studied everything they said, it was just much more thorough than anything I've ever seen. And so but we're going to go with this policy. And the premiums are guaranteed for 20 years.
What?
20
really?
Years. You're never going to get caught with a big premium, never. The premium per year, I believe, is $563.
Really?
And that's for 20 years. Mm. If a man lived 20 years, it's still 500 and something a month. It's a level premium. It can't go up for 20 years.
Wow.
So your exposure on this thing is nothing. No exposure, I mean, to me. Because not only is it short, 18 to 24 months, but the premium is $563 a month. I mean, a year. Excuse me. That's annual premium.
Wow.
I'm sitting here looking at it as we speak. And he's 37 years old.
Oh, no. Oh, man.
Yeah. Well, 37 years old.
It's interesting with those premiums because obviously we know the numbers. It's probably not going to go 20 years. But, you know, just to have that data, to have that information, it's like, wow. You know, what did you say, 18, 24 months for this policy-ish?
18 to 24 months, brain cancer. He's had it operated on once, but they said because he didn't complete everything, they don't think he has a chance. They're saying 18 to 24 months. He bought the policy when he was 32. He's 37, and it's guaranteed to age 50.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, 20 years.
You know, it almost sounds like you've got some new information here with, you know, the new LE, and it almost sounds like all the things that you've thought before, at least the early data that you've had, you know, with other policies in the years that you've been looking at all this these policies, it almost sounds like the new LE company has some it's like the same, they have the same results, but they went to a deeper level. And so it's almost like it kind of like backs up what you've been thinking all along. Is that a good way, or did they discover something new?
Yeah, I think so. And it's much more thorough. It's like you say, what we've always said, if a person is going to survive these cancers, you know, they have to do everything that they recommend. And so many of these people, they want to do homeopathic. They want to do all this other. Why in the world? We have doctors that are so good at everything. And then I read this week where a gentleman here in Texas, his back was hurting for a year. I mean, really bad. And he obviously didn't do anything. He just died this week. And come to find out, he found out a week ago it was cancer all this time.
Really?
Why in the heck wouldn't you go to the doctor? If you've got a pain for even 3 months, go to the doctor. Find out what's wrong with you. If you live in a little small town, go to a specialist.
Yeah.
And we've had 3 cases like this. A lady died of colon cancer, same deal. The doctor misdiagnosed it, told her she had all this other stuff wrong with her, and she has now passed away. And you can't mess around with it, you know.
Wow.
If you've got something serious, you need to go to a specialist and see what in the heck is wrong with you. If a local doctor just says, oh, you know, you've got stomach pains, you know, it's your gallbladder, it's this, it's just something with your stomach, I'll give you something for it. It was too late by the time they found out that the lady did have colon cancer.
I'm sure it's happened for for years, but is there maybe some kind of a shift where, you know, maybe symptoms aren't necessarily associated with cancer or something like that? Or what's going like there's misdiagnoses.
It's the doctors. Some doctors are telling them, you know, there's nothing really serious wrong with you. We'll just treat this. Now, this is medical information I read this week, and I'm going, this is crazy. They could have prolonged their life you know, a long time by just getting the proper medical advice. And, you know, after 30 days, if you're still not better, you need to be going to a specialist.
Yeah.
You know, don't mess around with your life. And these people were not old, by the way.
Wow.
You know, these were 40 and 50-year-olds, and they didn't have to die.
Wow.
I don't know how long they would have lived, but they would have certainly lived more than a year.
Yeah, I mean, because what happens is, you know, and it's not a big secret, but, you know, the longer that people are not in treatment for cancer, the more that it progresses, and the worse that it gets, and it gets, you know, aggressive and takes over things in a hurry. So I know you've said for a long time, you know, you always watch when you look at the LEs, you always watch what their lifestyle is. You know, are they, you know, trying to do like the natural spring water therapy? Are they doing the juice, you know, diet to just in desperation, tried to find some kind of a treatment? And sometimes they'll you know, go overseas and they'll do some kind of thing over there instead of doing the chemo and radiation. You've been saying that for a long time. It sounds like this new team kind of has data to back it up and show exactly how, you know, I guess how ignoring traditional treatments can really make things worse in a hurry for them. It's what it sounds like.
That's right. And we're working on a breast cancer one also right now. And this lady is a trucker, you know, and she's in a different state than what she lives. She's been had to be hospitalized on an emergency basis. She's really overweight. She weighs 230 pounds, and that is so obese that, you know, it's hard to treat someone. And they're looking at, they think it's metastasized. They think that she has bone cancer and kidney cancer in addition to the breast cancer. And they said, you know, would you like to start treatment now? And she said, well, I've been doing radiation. And they said, you know, you if you don't want to have it done to our hospital, you know, you need to go and get, you know, a specialist on this and, you know, get a plan to cure, if you possibly can, this breast cancer. But now she's had it, you know, for over 2 years, And now she's having radiation. She should have started radiation a long time ago.
Yeah.
And but women don't want to be cut on. I don't understand it. If it would save your life, why wouldn't you do it?
Wow.
It looks like a pretty good policy. We're really studying it. But the other one, I think 18 to 24 months is going to be a great policy for everybody, especially when you have premiums of $563 a year.
Yeah.
Per year, folks. That's not monthly. That's per year. So your risk and your exposure is way, way, way down.
And he was only 37, you said, right?
He's 37 years old.
Wow. That's really young. How does, when you look at, new data like this, how does this change your approach, or does it just kind of like solidify that, when you look at policies and you're trying to go through them, because you'll reject a lot. You won't even bid on some policies just because of things like that you see, the treatments they're having, their lifestyle that they're doing, the medication that they're on, all these different things. You've already been looking at these for a long time. Having this new data, does it change anything, or does he almost like say?
I think it's going to help. I think this new company will help. If we can get more LAs from them, because they're so thorough, and the science behind what they're doing is new, and I don't think a lot of people have this science yet. I know we haven't had it in the past. And then this doctor that's going to be helping us do our LAs and to go over LAs and be helping us also, I think this is going to change things a lot. I think it'll bring the LAs better. I think we'll have better results because that's what we want. We want the policies to come in on time. We want them to, if they're late, we don't want them to be, 6 months late or a year. We want to narrow this down and get more results. We have a lot of maturities right now. We've put a lot of money back in clients' pockets, which that's what we're here to do. And we want to do a better job. We want to do an even better job than what we're doing.
It sounds like you've been accurate for a long time. You've been looking at the data, and I know every once in a while you'll go back and you'll reassess the data just to make sure that, the criteria that you use when you're going through policies, you go back and you'll reexamine it to make sure that all those things are still, up to date, and if they're current and things like that. It just sounds like this is kind of like reinforcing you're already well on the right path. You've got a great foundation to start with. This just adds to it.
Well, and the other thing we're doing is we're getting more of the internal documents and having them sent out to us. It's a lot more reading what we've done in the past, but we're doing that also. We're requesting all the medical from the time this started till right up to date. It's a lot more work, but I think it's worth it to get all the medical in-house and visit with every doctor that has touched them, every hospital. What did they say? What was their diagnosis? What is the plan of action on that particular person?
As you look at the treatments and things like that, are there advancements in how doctors treat cancer, which could
there
affect
is.
The LA?
And sometimes it'll go into remission. It's not cured, but it'll say, okay, right now it's in remission. We can't see any progress. We can't even see any cancer right now, but
wow.
Especially in breast cancer. The chances of breast cancer coming back is so great, it's ridiculous. That with breast cancer, they say if it goes in remission and you can make it 5 years, you'll probably survive.
Wow.
But if it comes back in less than 5 years, you're probably not going to survive it.
Wow. And so you've got years of that data.
Yes. And we've done an awful lot of breast cancer. We've had three of them go over. All the rest have come in under.
Really?
Because we've done so many studies on breast cancer because we do a lot of it. And we've went back and looked at our data. We've looked at all the medical on these people. How advanced was it when we got it? And most of the ones we get are the ones that have reoccurred. And we know if it reoccurs, they're probably not going to make it. So those are those policies are really good for us and our clients. And we've had three go over. They went ahead and died, but it went over what all the doctors thought. But the rest of them have come in under what the doctors thought. And so we've had very good success with the breast cancer ones. And then the other number one, everybody says, is colon cancer with us, that we've had more colon cancer policies mature than any other kind.
Wow. It's really aggressive.
And of course, it is very aggressive. Colon cancer is very aggressive, especially if you don't catch it early.
And that's the key. I think because with colon cancer, it sounds like that's one of those that's hard to catch early because there's no symptoms, I think.
Not till it's too late sometimes.
Exactly.
It's like stomach cancer. Everybody can diagnose that thing for everything in the world, but stomach cancer, people usually live 2 years because stomach cancer is so aggressive. Once it's in your stomach, it's going to metastasize to all these other places. So, you know, the ones that I've seen, that the colon cancer ones, it went to the liver, went to so many other places. If it's went to like three places, you're probably not going to survive. If it's in the early stages, you've got, you know, a better chance.
Yeah.
And people do survive cancer, but it's not a very good high rate.
Well, you know, and then the other thing that people need to take into consideration is that when you're bidding on policies, you're only bidding on stage four. So stage one or two, you don't even consider those for the most part. And so,
no, because they might survive. Yes.
Yeah.
A stage one or stage two, they might live a long time, especially if it's slow moving. But if it's stage four, it's already went through all these other things. They've done, you know, maybe two surgeries. They've resected, and you know, we do a lot of pancreatic cancer when we can get it. Pancreatic cancer is one of those things that if you've got that seam in that one place, the doctors have told me, then you can't resect it, you can't operate. So then you know that it's about a 9 to 12 month deal.
Yeah.
But we don't get a lot of pancreatic cancers. The last one that we bid, the premium was too high, and we couldn't even do it. It would have been a great policy, but we could not do it. But all the pancreatic cancer we've had, I believe it, every one of them has come in early because it's so aggressive.
Wow.
But by the time they find out, a lot of people, I've had people tell me, clients, that their father or someone died of pancreatic cancer, and they said, you know, they were dead in 3 months. They didn't know they had it.
Wow, that's
so
fast.
And pancreatic cancer, lots of times people don't even know they've got it until it's too aggressive, it's too far along. So there's no way to save them. And a lot of people don't go to the doctor quick enough on pancreatic cancer. And that's why everybody wants pancreatic cancer when we can get it. We could fill a pancreatic cancer probably in 2 hours.
Oh, wow.
Because I know who all wants pancreatic cancer, you know. I know that. I know which ones want it. So, you know, we try to get them, but they're hard to get. And, you know, we want to get the ones that are aggressive, the ones that the doctor have said, you know, we believe this person has got a very short lifespan.
Wow. With all of the data that you've already got, and now with the increased data from, you know, like the scientific type of data, how much information, how much medical knowledge does somebody have to have when they look at a policy and decide, you know, when you say, okay, we've got a, you know, a policy for, you know, we've got X policy, and we want you to look at it and decide if you want in or out. How much medical knowledge does somebody have to have to look at the policies? Does that change anything? I know we talk about page 14 and, you know, a summary of all the treatments and things like that, but do people have to have any kind of actual, like, medical knowledge to make informed decisions, or how?
No, I think they have to read the LA. They have to read what the doctors have said. They've got to study it, and if it says, you know, this person's had all these treatments, you know, we're doing radiation, we're doing chemo, or they've decided not to do anything. The ones that say that's enough, Everybody hates chemo so bad. There comes a point that a lot of these people just say, that's it, you know.
Yeah.
We don't want to do anything else.
Yeah, a lot of times they'll say the treatment is worse.
Yeah, it's worse than the cancer. And so a lot of people do just say, that's enough. We're not going to do anything else. And it says that in the report. It'll tell you if they have quit all treatment, if they're still doing chemo, if they're still doing radiation, what is the prognosis? How long do they give them with the treatment they're doing right now? And we have to go by what the report says. These are the people that have studied. They've done the computer models, you know, on this. And they're not always right. You know, sometimes they're wrong. But according to our maturities, most of the time they're right.
Wow. Well, boy, there is an awful lot of information. It's shocking to know, you know, how much data that you actually have when you're reviewing policies. And it sounds like, you know, having increased LE data, it sounds like you're going to be able to really kind of pinpoint, you know, how long the policy would go potentially, which really kind of determines, you know, profit margins and things like that. So it sounds like you're kind of maybe you're taking the information you had before and almost like spiking the punch a little bit. And so now it's just like, wow, this is the same stuff, but on hyper mode on a much granular level. And you can make, I guess, maybe better decisions, maybe estimating, you know, how long policies will go, things like that. What's the practical upside to having the increased data? Just better?
Well, do a better job. To have policies that come in quicker, on time. It's all about doing the best job for the clients that we can. Getting better information all the time, getting it tied down where we have a better chance of, a quick maturity. You know, a lot of people do long maturities, and we try not to do that. You know, we're trying to do shorter maturities because most of our money is IRA money. So, you know, we want them to be able to retire, to have money to retire on, to have a lot of policies mature. And sometimes if they go over, you know, two or three will mature at the same time.
Mm. Yeah. It's either feast or famine sometimes.
It is. Like we say, we don't have any maturities. And the next week or next 2 weeks, we'll find out we've got three maturities.
It's not anything that's planned. It just happens to be the way it goes.
That's right, because we've had 3 million in maturities in the last 90 days.
Wow.
So, you know, that's quite a bit of money.
Yeah, it is. Does the new information, would that affect, like, whether you decide to go into particular policies, like bid on them, or would it have any kind of effect on, you know, the policies that you get? Does it affect, like, the LE? It's like, I don't know if I'm...
It will affect what policies we do. I believe that, because it'll give us more information. It'll give us more... maturity information. I think it will help a lot going forward.
So in essence, the bottom line, you may end up with better policies, maybe kick some out that you wouldn't have, except some maybe that you wouldn't have on the other side because of the information.
That's right.
Wow.
Yes. And we're still going to be kicking a lot out that, you know, just don't meet the, they're not sick enough. Medical information say they may survive. They're not that ill. You know, we're turning those down, you know, every day. We could buy a lot of policies if we were like other companies and just bought everything that came by.
You know?
I mean, you know, just said, oh, well, we'll just buy a bunch of policies up, you know, and we don't do that. Sometimes people call and say, we just got our money and we're ready to go in another policy. We're saying, wait a minute, you know, we're not quite ready here. We're looking at 3 or 4. The premium may be too high. We cannot do it. We've got to look at, you know, what medical treatment are they doing right now? You know, what are they into? So, you know, we've got to do all of that.
Well, you know, you're very meticulous. You've always been very, very detail oriented when it comes to, you know, deciding which policies to bid on and which ones to kick out. You've even said before that just because it says stage four doesn't mean that you're going to automatically bid on it. There's been plenty of stage four policies that you've kicked out for a number of reasons, right?
Yes. Sometimes it can be stage four, but it looks like that they're not that sick. You know, you may have stage four, but maybe it's just been diagnosed, and it doesn't look to me like you're in that much treatment yet for stage four. So we're going to study that. And if it doesn't look like, you know, that sick, you know, we're going to just pass and go on. Or they may send us over somebody that's 76, and if that goes over, we're not interested in that. The premiums are going to be too high. You know how I feel about anybody after 75. You know, we don't want anybody 80 years old, 85 years old. We've got a few of those.
Yeah.
And, you know, we want younger people like this 37-year-old that has cancer.
Wow. It sounds like, you know, that first point you made there, it almost sounds like, you know, as you look at the numbers, you kind of not only look at their lifestyle and things like that, but you also kind of want to wait a minute. If it's in the early diagnosis stages, you want to wait a minute just to see how they respond to the treatments. If they respond well, maybe there's a chance that they can, you know, beat it or at least, you know, prolong things. But if they don't respond well, then, you know, it may be a better sign that, okay, now, you know, we're getting a little bit more detailed here. We're seeing how things are going. Is that pretty much what you're saying as far as you kind of wait a minute?
Yes. And when we're reading all this about them, it'll say, oh, they've responded well to treatment. You know, it's looking good. Well, if it's looking good, it's not looking good for us.
Yeah.
You know, we want them to say, you know, they did not do well under treatment. They did a clinical trial. It didn't work. They had to stop the clinical trial. That's the things we want to know. Well, where are they in this treatment? If it's going well, or is it they're struggling? If they've been in and out of the hospital, it's causing other problems. That's what we need to know.
Yeah. You know, really, it kind of, you know, kind of to put it back into perspective a little bit, you know, if they do respond well to treatments, great. Any chance to beat it, you know, is fantastic for anybody. But the numbers, you know, show that by the time people usually go to sell their policy, they're in a place where they need to start making some decisions. You're not going in and, you know, commandeering and, you know, taking anybody's policy from them. They're at a place where they need that, you know, fast lump sum of money in order to do treatments or in order to, in some cases, you know, settle their estate. But for the most part, I would say it sounds like most people need the money to do treatments. And so once you get to that stage, you know, when they're making decisions, they need somebody there to buy the policy. And then that's where you come in. So it helps them in a short run because it's the fastest way to get a lump sum of cash, right?
That's right. And we've had several. We had a gentleman about a month ago that wanted to sell his policy. And we were looking at it. We could see he was really sick. And then the family called back and said, you know, they've given him less than a month.
Ooh.
And so they decided not to sell it. But he thought he was going to need a lot more treatment. He didn't know how bad he really was. And we were already talking about buying it. Then the family called and said, you know, they've given him less than a month. And so he kept the policy, and the family, you know, got the money. And I imagine he has passed away by now.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And every Saturday morning around this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic this morning?
It is birds. You would not think about birds in Texas, maybe. I don't know. But did you know that we have over 600 kinds of birds in the state of Texas?
Really?
Yes, we have over 600 kinds. The capital of birds in Texas is the Rio Grande Valley. I don't know if you know that. And when you go to the Rio Grande Valley, you'll see red-crowned parrots, green parakeets. They're on limbs, street signs, buildings. They're just everywhere. And they have 500 species of birds in the valley during the year.
Wow.
And this is their migratory path. And it goes right through the valley because, you know, it's so warm down there. And these birds can stay there all year if they want to. But a lot of them just come. They stay the winter, kind of like the people that migrate to South Texas for the winter. And as you know, the mockingbird is a state bird of Texas. The mockingbird was selected in 1927 to be our state bird. Now, a lot of people don't know. The mockingbird can sing all night long. That's why a lot of people don't like them. They'll be outside your window just singing and singing and singing. And the mockingbird mocks other birds. They know what other birds sound like. They can sing just like the other birds. It's just amazing what all they can do. But mockingbirds can do every kind of sound in the world.
Wow.
It just amazes me that they not only can sing all night, they can make sounds like every other bird in the state. And, of course, a lot of people don't like them because they are so noisy. You know, they just can it doesn't matter to them. Moonlight, spring, early summer, you know, they're just chirping all the time. People say, you know, they're beautiful to look at, but they're awfully noisy.
Yeah. Good Lord. It sounds like our neighbor every Friday night after they get back from the bar, they just sing all night long. It's like, stop making all that noise.
It. And then they say there's 12 birds in Texas that every Texan should know what they are. And I don't know if you had ever thought about all the birds and things, but the red-tailed hawk, it's been here forever. And that's another one that we're supposed to know. During the cold winter months, they'll be sitting on a highway, and everybody says they think they're watching traffic. No, what they're looking for is a rodent. And, you know,
really?
They sit on they're looking for something to get. And the tail, of course, is an orange color. I don't know if you've ever got up close to one of them. But they're very individual. They have a dark belly band with white underpants and then white blotches. Yeah, a chocolate-covered back. They're beautiful. Then you've got the blue heron. Now, the blue heron, a lot of people think it's a crane. It's not a crane. It's not even related to them. It's a wetland bird. And they hunt for fish or frogs or crawfish in any creek or any pond or even roadside ditch. And a lot of people forget that. Now, when it gets winter, they think they're going to – somebody said, well, do they go out and break the ice? No, they just move. They just say, it's too cold here. We're going inland. So they'll go inland. Then you've got the barn swallow. And the barn swallow, they make their nest from mud. And you'll see them on bridges and culverts, porches. You know, a lot of people don't like them because of that. They'll dive bomb you. I remember as a kid, they'll just dive bomb you, you know. But if they select your house, you know, they've got a forked tail. They've got dark blue purple on the head and their back and their tail. I don't know if everybody knows that. If you haven't been up close to one of them, if you're just trying to keep them from dive bombing, you haven't noticed all that beautiful color.
No, you're just playing defense person at that point.
That's right. You're just trying to get away from them as kids. I know we did. And then you've got the old turkey vulture. And the turkey vulture, the head of it looks like a turkey.
Wow.
They've kind of got a silvery tinge to their entire wing. But they're on the highway. You know they're looking for food, all that, the things that they do. We have also a black vulture in Texas. So we have two different ones. Then you've got the killdeer. The old killdeer yells killdee, killdee all the time, as you know. And they've got a fiery orange back, pointy wings, and then black bands across their breast. And you find, this is what's funny about killdeers. If you see one, he's limping, and he looks like he's always hurt, his wings hurt. They're just trying to dupe you. It's called feigning, and they do that to get you away from their ground nest. And so they'll act like they're hurt and lead you away from their nest. Isn't that funny?
So essentially, the killdeer plays possum.
He plays possum, gets you away from his nest. You're getting too close, so he's going to act like he's hurt real bad, and you'll go after him and leave the nest alone.
Wow, that's kind of smart.
Yeah. And then you've got the house sparrow. The old house sparrow, you know, been around as long as I can remember. They came to Texas through Galveston in 1867.
Wow.
And if you've got a grain silo or anything like that, you're going to have house sparrows.
Yeah.
They have nest boxes. And everything you've got can be overrun with these old sparrows. And the female, you know, is just dull. but the male is very pretty. Then you've got the cowbirds. If you've ever had herds of cows or anything, they're never allowed to sit down and raise a family. So they start dumping their eggs into the nest of unsuspecting foster parents.
They'll
follow your livestock and create this nest from other places. And once you've spotted them, you know, they got a shiny black body and a flat brown head. The females are different. They have no spots, no bling, no nothing. That's where that you won't see them if they're nesting.
Did you say no bling?
Yeah, no bling. Oh, my gosh. And then we have blackbirds. We have red-winged blackbirds in Texas. They have pale eyebrows. They hunt in flocks.
Mm-hmm.
And they maintain a harem. The old blackbird has a harem of many girl birds. Did you know that?
I had no idea, no.
Oh, yeah. They have many girlfriends. Then you've got the dove. You know, the doves came via Texarkana back in 1995 and spread throughout our state. And everybody that goes dove hunting, they know about the doves. They've been calling Texas home for as long as I can remember.
Neat.
And then you've got the egrets, which I hate. I shouldn't say that. I dislike. Let me say it that way. I dislike them. Egrets can set up at a place and ruin it, you know, because they just go to the bathroom everywhere. They are not particular. And lots of times people will put some kind of a shotgun, you know, or a gun that makes a noise and get rid of them. And then some environmentalists don't want you to bother the egrets. You have to protect them, they say. And I'm going, oh, my gosh, if they had to go around where they have been, you wouldn't want to protect them too much. You'd want them to just go somewhere else. Send them somewhere else.
Sort of unsanitary.
They are unsanitary. They're not a sanitary bird at all.
No.
I know a city councilman once, everybody was complaining, he was just going to go over there and bulldoze it. And, you know, the environmentalists stopped him.
Oh.
Said, oh, you can't do that.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, you can't just, you can't bulldoze their habitat. He was going to get, you know, he said, they're causing disease. They're bad animals, you know, bad birds, not animals. And they go, oh, no, environmentalists stopped it. You can't do that. You know, since 1927, the mockingbird has been our state bird of Texas. And they protect their own. And everybody says, that's why we picked them. Because they're a fighter. The mockingbird will protect his home, they said, like any good Texan.
Yes.
What do you think about that?
There you go.
They will protect their home like any good Texan. And the name, by the way, is from the Greek to mimic. That's what that means.
Really?
To mimic. Uh-huh.
To mimic.
And they can listen to a cell phone, the ring terms. car alarms, you name it, and they can mimic it.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool. It could be annoying, but it's kind of cool, though. It's neat how they can, like, hear something and then have, like, the perfect pitch to replicate the sound. It's neat.
And if they hear a policeman's whistle, they can mimic that exactly.
Really?
And, yeah, they can confuse you on what it is.
Wow. I don't know if I'm making this up or if it was like part of a made up show or if it's actually true. I've heard that they make also like the old school telephones, like that would ring like when we had like the phones, like the plastic phones that would sit on the counter or hang on the wall. They could mimic the sound of the phone ringing. I don't know if that's true or not, but it seems like I've heard that somewhere.
And you know, they go to great lengths to do their musical phrases. They can repeat each phrase. It can change the tune 90 times in 7 minutes.
Really? Wow.
Yes. They can whistle. They can warble. They can thrill. And as I said, they can make a squeaking gate, a croaking frog, a barking dog, and a cricket.
Wow. That's so interesting.
They are aggressive. You do know that.
Yeah.
And they will dive bomb you.
Dangerous.
Yes. I mean, if you make them mad, a lot of birds are that way.
Yeah.
You know, we've had some beautiful nests, and we were looking in the nest at the little babies. And the mother moved him in a few days.
Really? Did she? She knew that you were you spotted him and were checking him out, I guess.
I guess she decided that it wasn't as safe as she thought there.
Yeah.
It was on the front door, and so we had a wreath up, and she made a nest in the wreath.
Oh.
Yeah, and we were just looking in it, you know, checking how many eggs and how many. It broke loose, and you know how many little babies was in there.
Yeah,
and she moved them.
Did you touch anything, or did she? Because sometimes they'll pick up on your
scent. Well, we did touch the wreath because we were trying to look in it.
Ah,
and she might have thought we were going to come back and harm them or something.
Yeah, yeah. So she relocated. They moved.
She relocated to a different place. But I bet it wasn't as nice as that wreath. The wreath was, you know, a real nice little house.
In Birdland, it is a wreath is that's luxurious living.
It was a luxury house, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh! But you know, the cardinals is one of my favorite birds.
Oh yes.
I love to see cardinals in the backyard. On trees and things. They're so beautiful.
Yeah.
And like they say, we've got 600 kinds of birds in Texas. They say bird watching has become a really, really big thing. You know, the whole family can go, get your binoculars out, you know, read up, you know, where each kind of bird is going to be and go and visit them.
I had no idea there were that many. I could probably name 5 or 6, you know, before you went through the list. So I could probably name a couple, but having that many, I would have no idea, not a clue. That's just a lot.
I think you would have to go and get a book.
Yeah.
On, you know, all the birds of Texas, and then find out where you can see each one of these kinds of birds.
Wow.
Because they say East Texas has got a lot, and we know the mockingbirds up here north of Dallas. That's the mockingbird capital. Then we've got, you know, the Rio Grande Valley, where they're just everywhere. You know, the parakeets and parrots. I mean, they're on buildings, they're on trees. I mean, that's their habitat.
Yeah, and it's all regional. Different kinds in different, you know, parts of the state. I guess the climate or, you know, vegetation or, you know, whatever, you know, living creatures are around there. I guess that's probably where they're attracted to. So, yeah, you can have different pockets of different ones.
Yeah, and they're so beautiful, and it's worth seeing. I love beauty, and Birds are so beautiful.
Yeah, especially in the springtime. It's nice to hear. You know, traditionally we think, you know, the winter gets behind you, and then you start to hear the birds chirping, and you start to, you know, see trees blooming and you know, flowers blooming, and all these things are happening, and it's part of the charm, I guess, of springtime is to hear the birds.
I think so. And when you hear all these birds, you know spring is right around the corner. It's coming, folks.
Yes, yes. And Easter is just just right around the corner as well. It's, you know,
that's
what that
right.
Means.
Easter's getting close, and hopefully people will be able to go out this year. They won't have to stay home. We hope, you know, we don't know, but I'm hoping people, you know, are able to go out and go to Easter service if there's not too many people there.
That's true. Safety first. I remember the last couple of years, you were talking about Easter services being scaled back, virtual, lots of changes. So I don't know, maybe this year we'll kind of get back to a little bit more towards normal, you know, kind of socialize in person. I don't know.
It would be nice if we could. Of course, you know, you're always under some risk if it's a big crowd. So you have to weigh it both ways.
That's true. That is true. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
We should also mention, not that we have to do it as much as we used to because things are digital, but don't forget to turn your clock ahead an hour tonight. Spring forward tonight before you go to bed. It's like you're...
That's exactly right. Because you're going to be late all day long. You'll be late to church. I mean, you know, they'll already have everything done. They'll be taking the offering time you get there.
Yeah, yeah. And Lord knows, I've done that before. Now I sometimes do it on purpose, you know, especially for work
on
Monday.
Yeah, I mean, oh my gosh.
Oops, I didn't know.
Yeah, and everybody does it different anymore. You know, some churches... don't even pass the collection plate. I've been to a church where that at the back of the church, they had these little places in the wall, and you just put your envelope in there.
Really? Like a mail slot?
Yes, it was like a mail slot. It was very discreet, and you just walked back there and put your envelope in there.
Wow, I hadn't seen that before. That's kind of cool.
I saw that. It was because it saved time. Because, you know, with all the them passing, you know, the plate everywhere, it takes a little while.
Yeah.
And the deacons, that's their job, and they always do that. But this was a small church, and at the back of the church, that's what they had. You just did that. I've seen a couple of locations.
Wow. I hadn't seen that before.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
It is. Because it's very quiet, very discreet. And then a lot of people, you know, they mail theirs into the church. They don't, you know, they don't put it in the collection plate. They have it set up where they just, you know, mail it in.
Yeah.
So every church is different. Everybody does everything different, I guess, depending on the size.
Yeah. And times are a-changing, so you know, there's
new
things coming into play, that's for sure. Interesting.
That's right. But, you know, little children have always wanted to put their money in the collection plate.
Oh, yeah. It's always, you always like grown up when you, when you get to that point. It's just like, yeah, I'm a grown person. I'm 5 or 10, and then I put it in the plate. It's like, yep, I'm an adult. I made it.
And then the other is the little children in their Sunday school classes. This is funny. And we gave the little one, you know, the 5-year-old, his money, and I think it was $1. And he kept it. He didn't give it to him. He kept it. He came home, and there was that dollar. He still had it.
He made a profit. Said,
yeah, I said, you didn't give your money this morning? He said, no. That's all he said, no. He didn't give it. Yeah, and I said, well, you know, we're supposed to give our money every Sunday. So we had to kind of work on that. I think he's got it now. You know, he knows that he's supposed to do that. He's not going to keep your money, you know.
Wow. He just kept it. No explanation, yeah. No nothing. Just
no.
Yep.
He just said no. I said, did you put your money in the plate? No.
Wow. Well, he clearly has a future in investing, that's for sure.
That's right. I mean, you know, he'll know what to do with it. He'll keep his little paws on that money, you know.
Wow.
Oh, man.
Oh my goodness. Kids are funny. Speaking of investing, though, in risks and things like that, I know we always go over the three big risks with the life and settlement just so that people kind of, they know, you know, what the landscape is. It's like, you know, we talk about how conservative life insurance policies are is from an investment standpoint, but there are three major risks. So what's the first big one that people need to know?
Your most risk is it could go over. And if you're not prepared for that, you should not do this. There's risk in everything in life. There's not as much risk as the stock market, however. I might mention that. Yeah. I've been watching the stock market the last 2 weeks, and it's been rough. I mean, I've seen that thing go so far down, you know, 500 points, 600 points. That doesn't happen with a life settlement. But there is a risk. You need to know it's a risk. If you buy a policy, it could go over. It could cost you premiums. You need to know that. That's the biggest risk in this whole thing, is a policy could go over. And, of course, you are responsible for the premium. So always know what the premium is going to be in advance. Then there's no surprises, and you're going to know what it's going to cost you. And the second risk is it is not liquid during that time. Remember, if your money is in a policy, you can't get your money back or can't reinvest it until you get paid. So always know that. I think everybody does know that it is tied up if it's in a policy. The third risk is if a life insurance company ever went under. And now that they're worth billions and billions, we probably don't even have to tell you that, because there hadn't been one go under in years and years. They're just getting bigger and bigger. More billions and more billions. Okay?
The last question before we wrap up is with things the way they are. I mean, we saw the numbers come out on Thursday morning, and I think not only, you know, gas prices, you know, inflation, grocery prices, but like used car prices are up like 40 something percent. With the situation that we're in right now and the stock market being as crazy as as you were talking about.
It is crazy.
Are you seeing more and more people getting interested in life settlements as maybe a more conservative option, or is this not really affecting?
I think so. I think a lot of people that have been fully invested in the stock market are now considering, you know, putting part or all of their money in something different, where you don't have cash calls, you know, where that it can't lose this tremendous money in an hour.
Yeah.
You know? Right now, everything is a little unsettled in the stock market. I'm being nice when I say
I
little.
I know.
I mean, people are taking a great risk. I'll just be honest. It's a great risk right now. So, and it's up to them. If you can stand the risk, fine. If you don't think your heart will stand it, come over and talk to us.
And you've got appointments available this coming week for people to come talk to you, right?
That's right. We will be glad to talk to people. We'll get them set up, get them in some policies, and make them some money.
All right. So one last time, Faye, for people to call and get started, what is your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.